difficult for me to do as it is going to be for you to watch. Hey! All right. Yep, there you go. We'll figure what that is in a minute. So what I'd like to offer you is bread. This is not replacement for communion bread. And if you want to switch aisles, you may. This is Asagio cheese from Panera, fresh baked this morning. So this is sourdough loaf, also fresh baked this morning. And for those of you, I really don't have a great gluten-free option except crackers, which are the same as the communion crackers that we have. What I would invite you to do is just break off a big chunk and eat it while I'm talking this morning. So a little snack. I don't know why kids' classrooms are the only ones that get a snack in the morning, so we'll rectify that this morning. We are in the middle of a series on the book of Acts, looking at Acts chapters 1 through 15, and we are at chapter 2 today, which is the festival of Pentecost, a.k.a. the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to read this passage this morning, but what we want to do is not necessarily talk just about what happens in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. But it happens on a particular day, and that day is incredibly helpful for us to look at in terms of looking backwards. What does the day of Pentecost mean within the people of Israel, within their culture, within their history? And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look backwards to the Old Testament day of Pentecost to understand more about the person and work of the Holy Spirit, number one, and secondly, about the nature of the church, number two. So let's turn to Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 13, and it will be on the screen behind me. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard their language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these people speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hear them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors of Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked each other, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." So let's look at this festival of Pentecost, because if we want to understand what the outpouring of the Spirit is, it's going to be helpful for us to look at the significance of this day. So Pentecost was one of three great feasts in Israelites' history. You have first the Feast of Passover, which celebrates their exodus from Egypt. You then have the Feast of Pentecost, which is also known as the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Harvest, and then you would have the Feast of Booths. The Feast of Pentecost had kind of some dual meanings. One, it's said that 50 days after Passover, when they leave Egypt, they end up at Mount Sinai, and so that's the giving of the law. And also, then you'll recall, after Passover, this is when Jesus was crucified, it was 50 days after that that Pentecost happens and the Spirit is poured out. So there's this celebration of Passover and then Pentecost, not only with the giving of the law, but it also coincides with this time of year when the wheat harvest came in. Hence the bread and me doing that. What they would do, they would bake two loaves of fresh bread and they would wave them in the air. I don't know how they do it exactly. I just read they waved them in the air, and so I thought, if I'd spin, that'd be a little entertaining too. So they waved them in the air as a celebration of God's goodness. So it's taking the grain that God gave, baking the bread, and then waving them in the air. So this was a celebration festival. Pentecost was a celebration festival. It was a festival of God's goodness. Now, other religions in Near Eastern time, in Israelite culture, they would have had to dance before the gods in order to get a harvest. Okay, this wasn't Israel's posture towards God. They realized that whatever the harvest was, it was a gift from God. They can plant the fields, but like with any thing that we plant, there's this mystery to it. You wait for it. You wait for the harvest to come. And so when the harvest came, after this time of waiting, it was just a pure gift. It was a pure gift. And so it was a celebration of God's goodness. It was also a belief that God was active in creation. So when you look out at the fields this next spring, you can look out at the fields, and I do this often sometimes, like I'll drive by farms and I'll just pray that God blesses the crops. Because it's this witness and this testimony that God is active in creation. And so Pentecost was a celebration of thanksgiving, celebrating the goodness of God who is active in creation. And so they did this. They got together and they baked bread and they brought their first fruits, the first fruits of the harvest, in as a sacrifice, as an offering. Now, I want to sit with this. How's the bread, by the way? It's fun to watch some of you chewing. You can pass it around again if you want. So I'd like us to sit with this, the imagery of bread for a little bit, because bread is super significant within the Bible. Here's a few places where bread shows up in the Scripture, and this is by far not all of them. But in the Old Testament, you have the bread of presence. This is the bread the priests would have baked to put into the Holy of Holies. Okay, that's the place where the presence of God, they believed, dwelled. You would have the bread of the harvest that we're talking about now. And so these two loaves of bread that would be used in celebration of the harvest coming in. There's the bread of the body of Christ. This is what we celebrate every week in communion. And then there's this moment in the book of Luke where the two disciples are on the road with Jesus and they have no idea what he's saying. They invite him as he's talking about the Scriptures, and they invite him to his home. And it's over the breaking of bread, as God gives thanks, as Jesus gives thanks for the bread, that their eyes are open and that they can understand whose presence that they're in. For us, we kind of have a loss of significance when it comes to bread. We have a ton of varieties that are available at pretty much any grocery store. And so we don't have a sense of waiting to see if the harvest is going to come or not. We just need to schedule time to go to a grocery store, put together a couple of dollars and buy a loaf that somebody's already baked for us. But in the ancient world, prayer was a sign of blessing. A good harvest was a sign of blessing from God. It was literally nourishment, physical nourishment. So there's this bringing together of the spiritual and the physical, right? They would give God thanks, and they would it would be an act of gratitude for them to celebrate this festival. So there's a spiritual aspect because of this physical blessing. Now, if you lacked nourishment or if you lacked bread, it's a time of starvation and it's a time of hunger. And so they celebrated Pentecost because once that wheat began to come in, it was a celebration that God had taken care of them yet again. God had nourished and sustained his people. Now, this is the day, the Pentecost day. Okay, the festival of Pentecost is when the Spirit is poured out. And so what I'd like to do is make some connections and make some links between the two, between characteristics of bread and what they're celebrating in this festival of Pentecost, and then the Spirit. So if we understand some of what the bread signifies, then we would understand a little bit about what the Spirit provides. So it's interesting that in Acts 2, this is seen as the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And in times of harvest, what's interesting is that it happens. You plant, and then you wait, and then you wait, and you wait, and then it happens kind of all at once. Okay, so there's this initial outpouring, but then what happens, once you gather in the harvest, once you receive what's been given, or what has grown, then you take it and it nourishes you over a long period of time. And so this kind of gives us a sense of the Spirit's presence in our lives and in the life of the church too. Here, and this is kind of the movement in the book of Acts too. In Acts 2, 1 through 13, the Spirit is poured out in abundance. But by the end of the book of Acts, it's almost like it's just sustaining presence of the Spirit in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of hardship. And so the Spirit sometimes, maybe you can tell this in your life or remember this in your life. Sometimes the Spirit pours Himself out in abundance to you and you want to go back there, right? You have times or you have experiences where you experience the Holy Spirit of God and you think this is a God moment. I just want to stay there. Or a year later or 6 months later or whatever, you might want to say, oh, I wish I could go back to that place. But see, the movement of the Spirit is not only to pour out and to do something miraculous, but then to sustain you over the long haul. It's not just to get caught up in this out-of-body sort of experience and just live in that space, but it's to take that, it's to take this immense harvest, so to speak, and it's to work to bake bread to live off of the rest of the days until the harvest comes again. And so for your own lives, that's how I would encourage you in some ways to think about the work of the Spirit. Hopefully, you can each have this time to go back to. And for some of you, maybe it's been a longer time. And these times are good to be sought, too. We always need harvest, right? We always need this time when God pours out in abundance at once. But we also need the ability to learn to bake bread out of the harvest, to be nourished in little ways, to sustain ourselves over the long haul. And so for some of you, maybe that's been a long time since the last sort of harvest has happened. Or maybe you haven't had kind of a harvest sort of experience. And I think the book of Acts would argue that each one of us, God wants to pour out His Spirit in significant ways into our lives, where it's kind of an all-at-once thing. Because He wants us to experience the majesty, the wonder of His love and His presence. Like, part of me came from a charismatic background, and God's presence is something we talked about all the time. It's something that we sought all the time. And that part of me is still with me. It's still with me. But if I leave here on a Sunday morning and I don't feel God's presence, so to speak, it's because I need to eat the little piece of bread that I have for this week. So my relationship with God is no longer based on whether I can sense this overwhelming presence of God or not. Sometimes I'm going to, but sometimes I'm going to just need to do what is routine for me. Come to the table and remember and remember and remember. So the Spirit, in some ways, is like bread. Now, let's liken this to communion. There's two passages in the book of John I want to share with you. One from John 12:24, when Jesus said, "Very truly, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." I want to talk to us just for a minute about how communion and the bread of communion is a reminder to us of the presence of the Spirit. As Jesus says, when a seed goes to the ground, it breaks. Why does it break? Because it needs to die. It needs to burst open for new life to come forth. And this is what happens in the life of Jesus. Jesus says later on in John 16:7, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. It's for your good that I'm being broken. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, if I am broken, I will send Him to you." And so out of this breaking of the body of Jesus, we receive the Spirit. And so this bread is not just about the broken body of Jesus on the cross, but it is about the alive Spirit that is here with us all the time. And we take this week in and week out to remember that the Spirit of God looks to breathe on us again and again and again and again. So think about the Spirit in this way. This is the bread that you're eating or have eaten. The bread nourishes us. The bread gives us sustenance. And this is the work of the Spirit. The Spirit nourishes us. The Spirit gives us sustenance. It's the blessing of God. The Spirit of God is the blessing of God. Now, here's the cool thing. What does this say about the church and the nature of the church? So if that's what it says about the Spirit, if we kind of learn from the bread that it nourishes and sustains us, it's poured out all at once, but then it sustains and nourishes us over a long period of time. That's what we learn about the Spirit. What do we learn about the nature of the church if the Spirit is poured out on the day of Pentecost? We learn that the nature of the church is a celebratory nature. They think they're drunk because that's what you do in a party. It's a festival. And so they're drinking at a festival. Probably not that early because Peter will say that. But they are celebrating the goodness of God. So the church is a place of thanksgiving and gratitude because of God's activity in creation. That's why they celebrated on the day of Pentecost. Because God was active and they believed that God was active and they were eating the fruit of God's activity in creation. The church, the gathering here, you and I in this space, anybody who's gathered around in the name of Jesus this morning, we gather and when we gather, we celebrate because we believe God is active in creation. Think of the Genesis 1 sort of imagery. The Spirit is just brooding over the waters of the deep. Nothing's been created yet. When has the Spirit ever stopped brooding? Doesn't happen. Now the Spirit has created, He's formed. Father, Son, Spirit has formed this beautiful world and these beautiful galaxies. Absolutely. But the Spirit has never stopped brooding over the earth. The Spirit's work has never ceased. And so, as followers of Jesus who receive the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, we can look out at the world with different eyes. Not eyes of despair, but eyes of thanksgiving and eyes of joy because we can see something that other people can't see. Because the Spirit is still brooding over the waters of the deep. The Spirit is still brooding over the chaos of the world. And we are people of that Spirit. We are people inhabited by that Spirit. We are temples of that Spirit. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus. And so for us, we are people of celebration. We are people of joy and hope, even in despair. Here's the coolest thing about followers of Jesus. We could be having the hardest time in the world, okay? But there's always going to be this hope, even when we feel hopeless. Because our relationship with Jesus, who has suffered with us, is going to continually call us to put our hope and our faith in God that someday, in the midst of death, resurrection will happen. There's going to be a time when harvest comes again. That is our narrative. That is this narrative. That harvest continues to come. That harvest continues to come. So when we gather, we're people full of joy and hope. I want to show you a picture. This is Eugene Peterson. This is like my mentor through writing. He wrote 35 books. Some of you might know The Message. That's a book he says he did not write because it's the Bible. God wrote that one. But he died in October of last year. And one of the things in this documentary that was done about him when he was still living, they were interviewing him. And it was said of him that he was known by his smile. I interacted once with Dallas Willard, who was another very influential writer and thinker in my life. And this kind of complexion can actually, that's how I remember Dallas in the 3 days that I spent with him. It's not feigned happiness. Right? It's not just, I'm going to smile just because I'm completely ignorant of what is going on. I'm just going to be happy, go lucky. There is a deep joy. There is a deep joy in the followers of Jesus. Because of the presence of the Spirit. Because of the presence of the Spirit. Okay. I'm going to finish up this last. I have just enough time. I'll try to do this in 3 minutes. There's one incredible last thing about the Feast of Pentecost. And you'll know this if you know the story of Ruth and Naomi. What they did in the Feast of Pentecost is when they harvested, they didn't harvest the edges of the field. But they leave the edges of the field with the grain on them so the poor and the alien could feed off of them. Now here's a thought that I want to leave you with. What is the nature of the church? First of all, I believe it's primarily one that we are a worshiping community that exemplifies what it means to live in this world in relationship with God. That is, first and foremost, our mission. That is collecting the grain in the centers of those fields and bringing them together and celebrating together the presence of God and the goodness of God among us. That is our first and primary task. Now, what's interesting about the edges of these fields, and we see this in the book of Ruth, is that the owners of the fields don't pick the things and put them in baskets and leave them. They don't do the work for the people. They leave the fruit along the edges for the people to come and gather on their own to kind of come and see and to gain sustenance, but they don't do it for them. Now, I think this says something about our approach to evangelism, our approach to telling others about Jesus. First and foremost, I don't care what mission work you do, if you're not filled with the joy of the Spirit, don't do anything. Because we want to exemplify what this abundant life in God looks like. We're not trying to get somebody to cross the line from non-belief into belief. We're trying to get people from the edges of the field to be harvesters themselves. And if we're not doing that, we can't tell other people to do that. If we're not full of joy, if we're not full of thanksgiving, if we don't see the world through the Spirit's eyes, how are we going to help other people see that? The primary task of the church is to be so in love with the Lord Jesus, so saturated with His Spirit, that we go out into the edges of our field and allow people to feed off of us. That, I think, is evangelism. I want to send you out today thinking about how the world feeds off of you. So, what do you have to give them? What can they taste off of you? Because I think this gleaning of the field speaks so powerfully to the mission of the church. We come and we gather in the good things of God in this place, and we talk about them out of the Word of God. And then we are dispersed into the world, into the edges of our fields, so that people can feed off of us. You, the church, is nourishing the world as you inhabit the Spirit of God. Each one of you, without exception, are doing that. Have the potential to do that. Have the calling to do that. This week, as you and there's a practice for this week that's in your bulletin, but as you think about this morning, one of the things I would like to just raise your awareness to today is, where is the activity and presence of the Spirit in your life? Where is the activity and presence of the Spirit in your life? I think for me personally, I will always pray for a harvest, but I will also always pray for the wisdom for the piece of bread that I need for the day, because that's how Jesus teaches us to pray. I will pray for an outpouring of the Spirit, and I will pray that God sustains us. I'll pray that same way for our church, and I do pray that same way for our church. that God would pour out His Spirit on us in an abundant way, but that we would also learn to sustain ourselves off the presence of the Spirit. Without the Spirit, friends, there is no church. Let me say that again. Without the Spirit, there is no church. Jesus Himself said it. Go and wait. Don't do anything until you have power. How many of our lives are lived without power? How many of our churches are lived without power? How many of our lives are lived without Spirit? How many of our churches are living without Spirit? And as we live without Spirit, we really do have nothing to offer. We have nothing to offer. But the good news is that God desires to give us the Spirit. God wants to pour Himself out on us. God wants to fill our temple. That is the goal, that is the direction we're headed in the new heavens and the new earth, when the glory of God fills the earth as the water covers the seas. That's where we're headed, is this unification again with the presence of God. And in the meantime, in the midst of the kingdom of this world, as we are people of the Spirit, we are meant to have tongues of fire rest upon us, wind blow through us. We're meant to have the world feed off of us. Phew. So I want to pray two ways this morning. So being in a charismatic background, and I'm just going to go over time, so parents, just thank your workers. I kept the kids a little late. From the charismatic background, it was looked down upon, and this is not all charismatics. This is just like typifying and showing the worst, but it's out there, and I don't want to portray that this morning, that somehow if you don't feel something or something like that, then you're less than. You know, that's a bunch of baloney. We're all going to experience the Spirit in different ways. We have different dispositions. We have different personalities. We have different giftings, and the Spirit is going to blow through us and fill us in different ways, and the Spirit should. But I would suggest, though, that the Spirit is something that needs to be welcomed. Just as we invite Jesus to be a part of us, we'll see this throughout the book of Acts. Which baptism did you receive? Just the baptism of your salvation that deals with repentance and the forgiveness of sins? Or did you deal with the baptism of Jesus, which is the filling of the Spirit? Often from our pulpits, we preach way too much of just the forgiveness of sins, and we don't preach enough about the Spirit and the outpouring of the Spirit upon the life of the believer. But that is the baptism that Jesus desires to give each one of us. And so I want to challenge you. I don't want to challenge you. I want to invite you into a life with the Spirit, this forgotten third member of the Trinity. The Spirit, and we talked about this for 9-10 weeks last year, the Spirit which continually draws us back to the person of Jesus. The Spirit which helps us to understand the heart of the Father, to see what the Father is doing so that we might do what the Father is doing in the world. We must welcome the Spirit. We must seek the Spirit. We must receive the Spirit. I believe when Jesus teaches us that Part of this prayer is give us this day our daily bread. Yeah, it is physical, it is nourishment, but it is also Spirit. We need every day the Spirit of God to inhabit our lives so that we can partner with the work of Jesus in this world. I want to say a word of prayer for us before we take communion. After I'm done praying, we'll pray the Lord's Prayer together. Now let me just Let me just pray for us this morning. Lord, the Psalms tell us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Lord, as we've tasted bread this morning and have understood its goodness, we carry that forward and we look for the bread that you want to give us through your Spirit. We look to the harvest when those times, and maybe not as frequent occasions, when you pour yourself out upon us, where we gather in this rich abundance, Lord. We want to receive that. We want to pray towards that. We want to look forward towards it. But also, Lord, I pray that you would teach us to take that grain and bake 2 loaves of bread and learn to live off of it. That you would help us to learn what the sustaining work of the Spirit is within our lives. Lord, for those who are followers of Jesus here who have no idea what I'm talking about in terms of the Spirit, Lord, I just pray in your gentle and beautiful way that, Holy Spirit, you would meet them in a way that would be deeply meaningful and profound and connect them to Jesus in a way that they've never experienced before. Lord, for us as a church, I pray that we would be a people that would continue to receive nourishment of your Spirit, the very life of God given to us through Christ our Lord.